In Matthew 16, we just see something. I'm just going to start with up in verse 1 here. And the Pharisees and Sadducees came up and, testing him, asked him to show them a sign from heaven. But he answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but not discern the sign of the times? An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and the sign will not be given it except the sign of Jonah." And he left them and went away. And the disciples came to the other side and forgot what to take bread. And Jesus said to them, "Watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." In another version, he also said, "Watch out for the leaven of Herod." And here's what's one of the things that's happening in the background. You need to understand that he'd already fed the 5,000. He'd already fed the 4,000. He had just completed feeding the 4,000 when these Pharisees and Sadducees came asking for a sign. "I think you have a sign." When 4,000 people just got fed just hours before, "I think that's a sign. Because that's a sign that something is happening, something is different, something is going on that did not happen before this moment. Did not happen before this man showed up on the scene." Yet they're looking for a sign. They're looking for a sign. See, what Jesus is looking at is the intention of their heart. Because Jesus never had a problem with people asking him a question. Never had a problem with people asking him for something. Because when the blind man came to him and seeking healing for his blindness, what did he do? He healed the blind man. But see, these guys, they're seeking something. They're seeking to entrap him. They're coming with an unbelief, a willing unbelief in their heart. And because they're coming with a willing unbelief in their heart, he says, "I'm not giving you anything because it's not going to change your mind. It's not going to change how you see me. It's not going to change how you see the Father. It's not going to change the circumstance." Here's where we're looking for today. It says, "But then they began to discuss among themselves," this is the disciples, "is because we took no bread." And Jesus said, "You men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourself that you have no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 or how many baskets you took up? Or the 7 loaves of the 4,000 how many large baskets you took up?" In other versions, they actually respond to that question with the number that were taken up. "Do you not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of the Sadducees?" Beware of willing unbelief. Beware of standing in a place of unbelief, standing, seeing the signs, and yet not choosing to let it affect you. See, that's what he was ministering to, but he was ministering to them about something else. Because, see, there's something that happens when the Lord was, what he's doing here is he's reminding them of the testimony. He's reminding them of the testimony that they not only saw, but they heard about, that they lived through. He's reminding them of the testimony, and the text of what he's saying, what he's pointing out to them, is this: "Did you not see this thing that we just did? So am I concerned about whether we have 1 loaf of bread or 50 loaves of bread?" In other words, what happens a lot of times is when we see a testimony, we make our understanding of it about the example instead of about the principle that it's talking about, that it's speaking of. Let me tell you another way of seeing that is what we're not making it about is who the Father is. What is eternal life? What's being offered here? What is eternal life? Eternal life, John 17:3, is to know the Father and the Son. So there's an opportunity to know the Father and the Son being spoken about in this testimony. What he's wanting them to do is understand through this example, understand the nature of the Father towards them. To understand of his goodness, understand of his provision for their life. Because if he can feed 4,000 people with seven loaves and still have seven big baskets full of stuff left over, then there's more than enough provision in the Father for your life. There's more than enough provision in the Father for you to get where you're going and to complete the ministry that He gave you, to complete the assignment that He puts you in. Then those things, there's more than enough available. What He's wanting us to see is not the example so that we start making a doctrine out of the example, but to see what the testimony is indicating of the nature of God. What the testimony is indicating of the nature of the Father towards us. What the testimony is indicating of the provision of the Father for us. Those are the things that we're supposed to see in there, because so many times we want to make the example and then we don't want to start trying to make a formula out of the example instead of, okay, so that means I'm going to have this many, to feed this many people, I need 0.4 pieces of loaf of a bread just to feed these 50. No, that's not it. What He's wanting us to understand is the provision of God is for you. The provision of God, whatever it's going to take, Father wants to provide. He's not looking to withhold from us. He's looking for a way to bless us. That's what they're supposed to do. What He's wanting them to take is something that is of eternal value from that example. Because the eternal value is getting to know the Father. Because Jesus only did what He saw the Father do. If He only did what He saw the Father do, then everything that He did was an example of what Father was wanting to have done. It was an example of the nature of the Father. It was an example of the goodness of the Father. In this, He was pointing them back to the testimony. Jesus continually spoke in parables and examples and testimonies. He continually released testimonies because the release of the testimony releases destiny. Testimony in itself brings destiny. Testimony in itself brings a release of purpose that is out there for you. I want you to turn with me to Revelations 12 real quick. Because in Revelations 12, there's a real familiar scripture. We want to just touch on it. Yeah, there it is. 12 verse 11. Revelation 12 verse 11. And they overcame Him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even to the death. They overcame Him because of three things. The blood of the Lamb. The word of their testimony. And not loving their life to the death. In other words, not holding on to their life so fast that when there is an issue between holding on to what you already know and reaching out and grabbing a hold of Christ and moving with Christ, they were able to move with Christ. Because sometimes when we're holding fast to what we know is what is keeping us from actually obtaining what is in Christ. Because sometimes we're holding on to a lie thinking it's the truth. But see, when we have to make a choice, let's choose Christ. When we make a choice, we choose Christ. We move towards Christ. Why? Because when we move towards Christ, then there's that overcoming that happens. It sets us free from the thing of the past. It sets us free from the situation, from the circumstance. And then we also have the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb is something that's a very powerful force. It's a reminder of the cross. The blood of the Lamb is a reminder of that which is done and that which has been overcome. See, the devil wants to entice with sin. But the cross lets you know the price of sin. It lets you know the cost and what sin really looks like. The terror of what sin really is. But see, he also said the word of the testimony. Let me give you an understanding. That word is logos, which does mean word. It's the way it's commonly translated. But there's some other things that happen in that word. There's some other descriptions for it. Decree. Mandate. Order. And living voice. When we begin to look at the word of God, the testimony of of the Lord, the testimony that's in your heart as a mandate. Now when I release my testimony to you, I'm releasing a mandate to you that you can do the same. I'm releasing a decree over your life that the thing that the testimony was coming out for was going to set you free. See, there's a power that comes in a testimony that releases. There's a power that comes when we began to understand the depth of the testimony that Steve was releasing about what happened with the wine there. Now that releases a new depth of understanding of what is available to us in that testimony. When we heard last week about the man who got saved in the morning and went home and resurrected his mom at noon and took her back to the service so that she could get saved, we now can understand the power of what God has done in every one of us. Why? Because that's the power of Jesus in us. Because there was nothing in him that even had an understanding. All he knew was he heard about it and he believed God could do it. And he stepped into the power of the testimony. Guess what? His mom stepped into the power of the testimony too. Because when her body heard that, it was like, oh, I got to do this. And it began to become alive. Why? Because Jesus was speaking through the testimony. There was a mandate and a decree made over her life. As your life is not at an end yet, it's time to step forward and this be evidenced of who God is. See, every testimony comes with it, with a decree of the nature of the Father. It's revealing a part of His heart for us. When we have a testimony in our heart, those testimonies in our heart reveal who God is through us. So that someone else can see and grab a hold, get a fix on what is available to them. Sometimes we've limited our understanding of what salvation means, and thereby we've not taken advantage of the full force, the full power we have available to us. When we look and we're dealing with somebody and we're trying to get them saved, we have to have an understanding of not only what we're saving them from, but what we're saving them for. I once was down ministering to the homeless and whatnot around a bus stop area, and there was a gentleman there that he was standing on the corner directly across from the bus stop, and he was just yelling and screaming, "You're going to hell!" And that's all he was screaming, just over and over, and just telling them how bad they were, how horrible they were. He wasn't trying to hear the voice of God for them. He was just trying to make a decree. Well, all that was a spirit of religion that was being evidenced, because when I tried to talk to the man and said, "Hey, you're not helping anybody out here. You're only bringing guilt and condemnation," and they got enough of that. They already know that they're not doing right. They don't need your help with that. They don't need you screaming it at them. I say, but if you'll tell them something good, then maybe they'll want to hear what else you got to say. But until you start putting a little honey on it, until you start showing them a little heaven in your word, then if you're going to only talk about hell, you're not going to get through. He didn't want anything to do with it. He didn't want anything to do with me. Except to try to punch me, but... I was like, okay, now we're showing Jesus, aren't we? Yes. You never know what you're going to encounter. But he just wanted, it was a spirit. He had more demons in him than the people he was trying to help. Not a good thing. I didn't get through to him, but I tried. I planted a seed. Thank you. Yes, we did. We planted a seed. And we ducked real quick. So we came out without any harm. Hallelujah. But see, your testimony, Your testimony is there because why? Your testimony is part of the honey that attracts. Why? Because it's evidence of the love of God. It's evidence of the appreciation of God, of the provision of God, of the honor that God has for His people because He chose to die on a cross for us. Yes. And that's an important part of our testimony. But in more than that, He saved us so that we could come somewhere. So we could be with Him. We need to share that. Flip back to Matthew 9 real quick. All right, if it's close, you can go to Matthew 10 because we're only going back up a verse. Verse 37 of Matthew 9 says here, He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out the workers into His harvest." Now we saw, then He begins to send out in Matthew 10, He begins to send out the 70. And as He's sending out the 70, He says here to do this, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Did He tell them to go preach the cross? I'm not telling you not to preach the cross. No, I'm saying that there's something else we need to preach in addition to the cross. He said, go preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, the kingdom of heaven is right here. It's I can touch it. You can touch it. It's right here. The thing that we've been waiting on, the Christ that we've been waiting on, the Messiah is here. The Messiah is available. And if we'll choose, we can follow Him. We can come to know who the Father has sent so that He to represent Him as a Son. Obviously, the cross hadn't happened at this moment, but He was already reaping. He was already pulling in and drawing in a harvest because eternal life is about knowing Him. My favorite scripture that Moses prayed, Exodus 33, verse 13. Was that we could become, Lord, He said, teach me how to know You, to know Your ways that I may know You. If I can know Your ways, I can know You. That's the same thing as what's happening when a testimony is being released. A testimony is a way to know His ways so that we can know Him. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is what we want to share with them, that there's the goodness of God is available. The place in the heart of God is available. The love of God is available. When we begin to tell them about the love of God, when we begin to tell them about the good things that God has done in our life, now we're drawing them in a way that compels them instead of a way that repels them. I think most people are aware of their sin. I don't really have to harp on their sin. Most people are too, you know, if you've been in church a little while, you're maybe hyper aware of your sin. But see, God wants you to make you aware of His righteousness. He wants you to be aware of His righteousness. He wants you to be aware of His love. Because when we're aware of His righteousness, when we're aware of His love, now we no longer hold ourselves back from God, but we can fully embrace and be loved by Him. You know, I get the chance to go see my grandbaby soon, and I'm loving that. But, you know, all His run around, all His cuteness, all the things that He does, that's all awesome. But my favorite time is when He crawls up in my lap and just goes to sleep. He's not doing anything to please me in that moment. But I'm more pleased in that moment than I am with anything else. Because He chose to be here with me. He chose to trust me wholly and completely. I believe our Father is the same way. He's just wanting us to draw up into Him, to draw near to Him, and to let us love on Him, and to let Him love on us. And because if and when He gets to love on us and draw us near like that, that's the picture of His desire and His delight. Zephaniah 3:17 says, He delights over us and rejoices with singing. Probably not like my singing, probably more like Yolanda's singing, but yes, that's right. Hallelujah. Anointed. Yolanda's is anointed. But he wants to rejoice over you. He wants to celebrate with you. He wants to draw you close. It's not about what we do. So many times we get caught up in what we do to please him. No, what we do comes out of the fact that and out of the abundance of the love that we are experiencing with him. When it comes out of the abundance of love that we're experiencing with him, there's just a natural overflow that's going to gush over everybody around us. There's a natural overflow that fills the atmosphere even around you. But what you do when you're doing that is you're preaching, guess what? The kingdom of heaven is no longer just at hand. The kingdom of heaven is now within us. Because of the cross, that situation changed. And even though it was close before, now it's within us. We have the opportunity to release that as we look upon the harvest. As we recognize that every story that we hear, every parable we hear is simply demonstrating a characteristic of the Father and his intention for us. Testimonies encourage and build faith. But most of all, they tell us who Father is. Who Father is. But we wound up in Matthew 10. Let's flip over to Mark 5. Real quickly, just a moment. See, this is the testimony. The testimony that he's releasing about the man with the legion, the man who was gashing himself with stones, the man who was running around naked and just beating himself with stones, and they were trying to chain him up, and they couldn't hold him with chains. And Jesus, when this man saw Jesus and Jesus saw him, there was an opportunity thing. Several things could have happened. But what Jesus didn't do was Peter, James, and John, let's get over here and let's have a big prayer meeting right now. Let's gather all the saints and get everybody, send that text out. We need an emergency prayer session. He didn't do that. No, because when he saw the legion, and the legion saw Jesus, the legion came and bowed down. This is the one and only time he ever speaks to the devil. And he said, why, in other words, he wanted to know, what's your name? I believe the reason that he did that was so that you could recognize the power and authority the Father has given you. Because a legion is 6,000 or so. So if it's 6,000 devils, that's a few. That's just not somebody who had a headache. That's just not somebody who was a little bit, a little quirky in their actions. That's somebody who's fully given over and fully possessed by these devils. And yet they came, and no matter how much activity there was in them, this man came and bowed down. Because he recognized a greater power. I believe that the reason that testimony is there that way is so you can see that greater is he in you than he who is in the world. And it doesn't matter how many of them there are, greater is he in you than he who is in the world. And when you stand before somebody who has an issue, you have to understand, greater is he in me than he who is in the world. When we see that, we can recognize the fullness of the power of God. when we recognize the fullness of the power of God, it's something that's available to us. It's something that we can use to transform the world around us. When I started preaching and doing deliverance with people, I used to recognize that the Lord just said, do it this way, because I was having some struggles with, you know, when you come up against somebody and their whole face is distorted and, you know, they're talking literally out of the side of their mouth. It's a little intimidating the first time you see something like that. And the Lord just said, picture me standing behind you and then say what I would be saying. You know what? When I did that, devils moved. It didn't matter no more. Because why? Because now I was operating in his faith, and I was beginning to look at the situation as he would look at it. What would Jesus do in this moment? That was long before there were, would Jesus do wristbands, but in that moment, I was saying, well, Jesus, what would you say if you saw this? That's the power. That's the authority God has put in you. That's the power and that's the authority he has put in your testimony. It's your testimony that sets a mandate. It sets a decree for this situation that you face. It sets a mandate for what's going to happen. And that mandate is something that they can take a hold of and operate with in their life and set them free. Salvation is more than just breaking agreement with sin. Salvation is choosing to see and have a life with Christ. When we begin moving them that way, when we begin setting them into the fullness of the testimony, you give them every opportunity to see the power of God released in their life. Hallelujah. I ran out of time again. God bless you. God bless you. God, we love you. And we're going to have a wonderful service here in just a few minutes. This is a time of celebrating the anniversary of the church and celebrating LaRue's birthday. So I guess it's like 21 years, 22 years. I don't know, somewhere like that. At the moment, I need to think back. I think 20, maybe 22 this time. But hallelujah. I just want to encourage you this week. Lift up the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus, because that's what will set them free. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you.